Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Tuesday evening. This is Deborah, PGN, Blog Talk Radio, September 28th, 2021. Glad to be here with you. Thank you for joining us, and God bless you. I pray the mercies of God be with you and your family, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I hope everyone had a good day. It was just like the last 10 minutes of winding down to get everything here. All of a sudden my phone was going off on everything. So this is good. The Lord is good and precious and priceless. And so I did want to read a verse this morning, today before I start. It is John 14. I kind of start and end in John 14, but I'm going to read John 14, 16, and 17. And that is, and I will pray to the Father, and Jesus talking, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Where he dwells with you and will be in you. How precious and mighty and powerful is that? So praise God. That's a reminder that he is in you and with you. Also, I want to talk about some things that kind of came up. I'm seeing a theme for the week, a resounding theme. And then I kind of talked to my husband about it passionately. And then I say, you know what, I think I'm going to talk about this on Blog Talk. But then I kind of harnessed myself in and just thought, well, is this me? Or so I kind of placed it before the Lord. And then he started unpacking some stuff in the scripture. So, yes, indeed, I do believe this is the Lord. Well, I want to talk about and absolutely positively bring in scripture. So I want to talk about this first and foremost in a practical way, just very briefly. Just because I know a lot of people deal with this, I'm going to talk about anxiety, and I want to talk about fear and a little bit of condemnation and some of the things that are happening right now in this world, in the church, and with some teaching, because some of you know that I work for also another ministry that is very discreet. It's not really my role is very discreet. I'll say that is a prayer call ministry, and I just take prayers, don't really prophesy, to the same thing that I do here. No teaching, anything like that. But anyways, my heart certainly is as a priest, a holy and royal priest. It's my identity, not just my heart, but my identity, and that's your identity as well, is to draw people closer to God. And one of the ways that we do that is through prayer. But what we're seeing is, or what I'm seeing is, the other night I took several calls on anxiety. And when I had just returning from our conference, there was much talk about anxiety, because what happened that they've seen, while there might have been some undercurrent and undertones within the community at large, if you will, as a world and a nation, that would set us up for anxiety or calamity to, you know, as a bent towards anxiety. These things do happen, and it's kind of what they call an acute state of anxiety, which is just an onslaught of what happens, right? And you can see this in a large portion of community this can happen in, which is, you know, like 9/11, New York, with the tsunami, things like that. That even when in Charleston, when they did the fires in the churches and the cultural things, this can cause, you know, some people call it post-traumatic stress, but it's also an anxiety, a type of anxiety that can happen at large within the community. And so they were giving some statistics at this thing, and this gentleman here, his name is Gregory Yant, J-A-N-T-Z, for those of you who want to Google that. And he has a ministry in a place of like holistic care, dealing with all of it, even our physical what we're eating, not eating, exercising, not, you know, the whole body, soul, and spirit of what's taking place with anxiety and different, mainly their focus, anxiety, and drawing people back to the hope of God. Okay, and he's written several books, so you can just Google that, and if you're interested or if you have that. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about is a little bit of because of COVID-19, what had happened to all of us, really, it hit all of us as a nation, okay? I mean, across the globe, really, across the world, and all this anxiety that has taken place because of it, and the anxiety even still that remains, okay? So it is an acute, which is short-term stress that happens in this because of COVID-19, okay? So so the pandemic, as it continues, though, because if we, okay, but anyways, it's normal to feel an increasing amount of stress. He says insecurity about your job and oversaturation of information, and some of it conflicting, that's for sure, especially at the beginning. Fear of catching the virus, that's for sure. Stress of being cooped up over a long period of time, that's for sure. Without social release, that's for sure. It can cause anxiety in all of us, okay? And that is true. That's acute and short term, okay? Just to get this here. But in long term, like an ongoing, if it's ongoing type of stress, it can create high levels of hormones, your cortisone levels, which is not good for your body. It actually can have a very negative, stress and anxiety can have a profoundly negative impact and what they call mental health. But I'm going to change the name of that and say, because hopefully, Lord willing, this will turn, the tables will turn on this mental health phrase or thing, as call it brain health, okay, right? Because we take care of our heart with different things, so let's call it brain health instead of mental health. Excuse me, so I did hear that term actually from Dr. Amen, for those who know him. Okay. But we have a God-given ability, and this is even what he stated in this article that I pulled up. Okay, you were created with a stress response meant to help you recognize and escape danger. We all have that. But you were not created to stay stuck in that stress response, and being stuck produces the danger of breaking down physical or psychologically. Okay, so chronic can be debilitating and rob you of energy, confidence, and joy. Okay, so here's the thing. A recent poll showed over half the population is concerned that their loved one will catch the virus. And I'm not sure when this article is, but I know that they were giving other statistics. Even before COVID, 75% of Americans said they experienced a notable stress event the previous month. So COVID was now the stressor. Not even our radar 4 months ago, but okay, so he must have wrote that 4 months after. So half of Americans were very concerned about it, and top of the record levels of stress and anxiety our society was already feeling. Okay, I thought it was giving some other statistical facts. Well, they were saying about 20% of Americans, 40 million Americans suffer, if you will, from anxiety. That's about 20%. I read that somewhere in here. Okay, and then they also talked about this at the conference and gave other numbers. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about. That's already a backdrop, if you will, to some level, to some degree within the community at large, whether in the church or not the church, okay? That's just to set that up. Now, I just read John 14. 16 and 17 about Jesus praying and having the Holy Spirit be with us as another helper, and not only be with us to help us and be the parents, but be in us. Says with he's in us, we carry him. There is, and I'm not sure who's teaching this because I get calls on this sometimes that people are listening to this, so I don't have names and I don't know where they're listening to this from. I just do not know. But I've heard this more than once, and just even this past weekend, over the past maybe 6 months that I've been with them, 5-6 months that I've been with them, I've heard people call in for this specific teaching from Revelation 21:8, where the scripture talks about. Now I'm going to read this in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to draw out literally. I'm going to look up this word and what it meant. Okay, but The New Revelation 21, verse 8, New King James Version verses I'm reading. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I might have talked about this, I don't know. But anyways, what's happening is that there's a teaching going around or being, anyway, there's some sort of preaching, teaching going, talking about if you're a coward and you're not sharing your faith and that you're fearful, you have anxiety and you're fearful, you're not going to heaven. Now, this might not be specifically what some are teaching, but this is, I will tell you, this is how it's being absorbed. Some may be so. It might be directive that, you know, clear. Others, this is what's being brought in, and they're calling, they're fearful that they're going to go to hell, and they're Christians because they have anxiety and because they do have fear and they can't help it. They're trying to work on it. They're trying, okay. And if this type of teaching brings about fear, putting fear in them. And now, it used to be back in the day, so I've been a Christian 34 years, 33 for sure. But there used to be different measures of people that were evangelistic that used to share the gospel in different ways. And one used to be hell and brimstone, because a friend of ours, they're very evangelistic. There were three different couples that went to their church, and they all had carried evangelism and the heart of God to the people to get saved in three different measures. And she said one couple was hell and brimstone. And that one, she said it kind of bothered her, like irked her a little when she heard it, you know. But okay, so if fear is the motivation, I mean, come on, that's not okay, because we all know this, but we're going to get into this a little bit more. So fear, and then if it's not fear, it's condemnation. So if you're listening to any message, okay, there's conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he will lead us into all truth, and he is with you, okay? And if it's not building up the kingdom of God, building your faith, okay, there's straight talk. Come on, I get it. I'm an Enneagram 1. I can talk straight and direct, okay? That at times seems confrontational, but not intentionally. And then, but if you're doing it to motivate someone out of fear, or the messages bring in condemnation to you, you got to think about this theologically, and really get a handle on who Christ is in you, and your identity, and it's not by your works and your own. It's surrendering and yielding to him, and that it's him that is working his virtues and his fruit through you, through your willingness and your obedience unto his word, unto his spirit, okay? Okay? Now, in the New Testament, Revelation 21:8 says this, but as for cowards and unbelieving and the abominable who are devoid of character and personal integrity and practice or tolerate immorality, and murderers and sorcerers with intoxicating drugs, and idolaters and occultists who practice and teach false religions. So did you know idolaters practice and teach false religions? Idolaters. Okay. And all the liars who knowingly deceive and twist truth. That's who they knowingly deceive and twist truth, a liar. Their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, so that's the amplified, okay? So these are not Christians. These are not Christian people, unless they're wolves and sheep's clothing and amongst the people, right? Religious and tradition of men type of thing, and not really have the Lord. So when I looked up the word coward, because I'm going to look up the word coward, because some people. Okay, so if false teachers and false religion are idolaters and occultists, they're literally cowards because they're twisting the word of God. Okay, so the Greek for this word coward, because I looked this up, is fearful. However, even though it says timid and fearful, however, when you cross-reference the verses to it in Matthew 8:26 and Mark 4:4, okay, of a Christian who through cowardice gives way under persecutions and apostasy. So it's like denying the faith and persecutions, right? And so it also is timid by implication, faithless, less, fearful. Okay, so that's outweighing. If you're full of fear, not just if you have fear or you have anxiety, and it's actually not even, if you cross-reference, so I'm going to cross-reference these verses right here in Mark 8:26, it says, but he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So here he is amongst demonstrating what his faith can do, even with a little faith, okay, amongst the waves in the boat, okay? Jesus demonstrated to his disciples, okay? He didn't rebuke them. He just asked a question and then demonstrated to them what was inside of them that they had the ability to do. Because why? Because we follow him. We're following him. Okay, Mark 4:40, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Okay. So any reference that we see to this, and there's not much, the word coward, you can look up coward yourself in the, go to Blue Letter Bible or Bible Gateway, and you're going to come up with one verse for cowards. This is it. Okay, there's one verse for it. But when you look it up in the Greek, did, and I was just showing you in the cross-reference, okay, it is always referencing this fearful to our faith. That means when we're doing nothing with our faith other than walking in fear, okay, that we let fear outweigh the faith that Christ has given to us and never walking in it, never demonstrating it. And, you know, for the most part, the Christians that I know, they haven't done that. They have not done that. Even the people that are calling in for prayer are demonstrating their faith in Christ. Every time they hit the number on that phone, ding, 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 ding. I mean, you know, however many numbers, what do you have, 10 numbers, 7 numbers that you dial? Every time you're hitting that number and you're dialing and you're reaching out to Christ, you're seeking him, you're activating your faith unto him, even in the moment, even in the midst of what's troubling you. And this is what I tell some of, even in the midst of what's troubling you in your anxiety, you're reaching out and you're moving towards Christ in faith. That is your faith being activated. You are not, you know, you are not a coward, you know, and if that is condemning, that is a condemning message, you need to just shut that off, because that's not going to do anyone any good, okay? So listen to our soul, because our soul is being sanctified. We are justified through Jesus. He's made the justification for us, okay? And our soul is being sanctified with the truth, and that's why he sent the Holy Spirit in John 14, John 16. Read those regards to the Holy Spirit with you and in you, and his role in your life, okay? And you are yielding. If you are yielding to the Holy Spirit, you are not a coward. There's no way. There's no way you're a coward if you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, okay? It's just not true. Even if you're dealing with any type of fear or anxiety. Okay, our soul, where is that paper? Our soul was condemned to sin. That's basically, right, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, okay? Our soul was condemned. But, however, in Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So Christ has purchased our souls, and they're under the blood, okay? He's made atonement for that. We already have atonement for our souls. So we don't have to try to prove in our own soul to try to, we don't have to prove that in our own soul. We just have to accept and receive what Christ did for us and then walk that out, okay? So the only other place where I see anything being fearful that the Lord actually brought to my remembrance, I didn't have time to actually study this out, but was when the talents, remember the talents, and the one man buried his talent, and then the Lord said he was not happy with him, he was not pleased with him, and he was angry with him. I think it even says that. And he was fearful. The one who buried his talents was fearful. And I see this was runs almost parallel with the same thing. So if what you've been given, you've never do anything with it and you bury it, then it might be the same thing, because it's not going to bear fruit, and it's not going to be, you didn't believe the master to begin with. Well, he gave it to you, but you didn't believe he was going to give you what he said he was, and that he would even come back and ask for an account for it, okay? Although it doesn't say this in scripture, it is similar does not in him why he buried his talent. Okay, most of us have stepped out in faith, even being fearful, right? You know, when your heart is pounding and Christ is telling you to, you know, give that money to, reach out to be to the homeless, you know, give them a blanket, whatever it might be, food, a drink, maybe it's something with a single mom, helping a single mom, sending someone a note or a word, speaking a word to them, and it can be like, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm going to say, how I'm going to do this, you know, and your heart is pounding in your, but you don't give in to that, right? Your fear, you step out in faith, and you silence it because you are willing. Why? Because you are willing and obedient. Okay, that's not a coward. It is not. It is not. And I don't know who's teaching that. I don't even want to Google it. I don't even want to know any names. I don't want to know. Okay. And then I went and put in the word timid, just because that was in the Greek. That's what came up, was timid in prayer. So I thought, let me just put it, the word in timid, because I thought I had heard Paul talking to maybe Timothy about, I know one of them was young, and he was encouraging him. Remember, he said, if you were, I forget the word, I don't even know if he used the word timid, but he says, you know, take some wine for your stomach or whatever, you know, like calm down a little bit, like get your soul, you know, to line up with the obedience of Christ and the spirit within you so you can step out, you know. But anyways, when I put in the word timid, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And this is so, so true, and we all know this. So we thank you, Father, for your spirit. You have not given us a spirit of fear, so we do not receive it, Father God. Any place where the spirit of fear has tried to hook us, to loop us, Lord, like even as a loophole, even as a noose in any way, like to trip us up, Father God, in our walk, or to put its grips in us in any way, God, we ask that you loosen that now over your people, God, and Italians, Lord, of the enemy, God, the spirit of fear that would grip, Lord, we pray that that would be broken in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for doing your holy work, for speaking your word to us, for sending the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the release and the power of your word, Lord, and the power of your might, God, that you reconcile all things unto you, God, things on earth and in heaven through your blood and the power of the cross, Lord. So I pray now, God, those that are listening, Lord, And whenever they're listening, God, whether they're listening this evening or a later time, or even if they've stumbled upon this, Father God, and their ear is listening, their ear is hearing, God, let it be done in faith, Lord, that they receive in faith, Father, and that you undo that thing, Father God, that you bring resolve and dissolve by your blood fear, God, and that you would help silence and stabilize this anxiety, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that they invite you to do it, God. They invite you to do so, Father God, with open arms and open hands before you, Father God, and maybe even some bended knee, God, and just asking desperately, God, desperately, Lord, that you would care for removing fear and anxiety from them, Father. And I thank you, Lord, to come into agreement with their prayers, well, Father, in Jesus' name, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are so restoring, so redemptive in your heart, God, and creating and recreating, God. Now renew their minds, God. Renew their minds to be sound in you, God, that they would even hear your sound, that they would hear your word. They would hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit, Father God, and I thank you that they would follow. God, it would become such a fellowship, such a friendship, such a unitedness in you, God, that it would be so impactful in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, that they would leave a memorable presence, Lord, imprinted, Lord, with who you are, with those that they come in contact with, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for spreading your presence, for spreading your word, spreading the gospel, and spreading the kingdom, Father, in this land, Lord. Let it be true and noble and upright. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God, that you would advance the men, God, who are true and noble and upright, Father God. We thank you for it, Lord, and that you would shed your light on those things, Lord, that we could see that and discern it and distinguish it. Thank you, Lord, with our natural eye and with our spiritual eye, Father God. In Jesus' name, and just like, who was it in Scripture who said, I discerned that you are a man of righteousness. I discerned you were a man of God, right? I think they said it to Elijah. Yeah, discerning, that we could discern the men of God. So thank you, Lord. Okay, so it's sharpening your relationship. Okay, when you hear the word of God come forth, it needs to be a type of word of God where you are hearing a teaching on the word of God, is that it is sharpening your relationship with Christ. Is it bringing you closer to Christ and sharpening your relationship? Because if the motivation is fear and condemnation, no, that's not right. That is not right at all, okay? But with Christ and the word and God in faith, okay? Sorry, let me just start over. If the message and the teaching, is it sharpening your relationship with Christ to the word of God, and in your faith? Is it sharpening that? Okay. Right. So, because he says we're going to finish the race, right? Paul said, I have kept the faith. Very important. I have kept the faith through all of his persecutions, all of his right. He did not become a coward. He kept the faith, and he's encouraging us to do so as well, because it's sharpening our relationship with Christ, the word of God, and our faith. If that's what you want to hear. So if you're going to hear something about this, okay, and I've heard this word here because I thought, only because the Holy Spirit brought to my mind, but Revelation 12:11, and they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb, which is, that is the new covenant. You know, I talked about this last week in John 4, where it says, behold, the Lamb of God, was the blood of the Lamb. Okay, and because, so now it's, the blood of the Lamb, because now this is for Jew and Gentile and all tongue, tribes, and nations, is behold the Lamb. It is the blood of the Lamb. So the Jewish believer needs to come into the blood of the Lamb. Okay, so we pray for our Jewish Christian believers and those who have yet to believe that Jesus has come as the Messiah, to receive and to behold him as the Lamb of God. And I have been, my husband and I have been to Israel. You know, there was a handful of friends I said, I sent out emails and I said, hey, I'm going to the wall. There will be a time where we will be at the Western Wall. If you would like to submit a prayer request, I will bring it with me. Please email it to me. I will print it and cut them up and have the papers and put them in a little stash and put them in the wall, insert them in the wall on your behalf when we go. And there was one person who prayed that the Jewish believer, that their eyes would be open and that they would see, receive Jesus, that they would see the nation and the Jewish people would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and their true Messiah, that the true Messiah has come. I thought that's beautiful. So I do have that inserted. I do have that seed planted. Come into agreement with that, and I know that you do as well, in Jesus' name. Okay, the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, we all have a word of a testimony, and I know I've heard plenty of people share words of testimony here, and I know that we're people of faith here. So, for they did not love their life and renounce their faith, even when faced with death. So this is the Amplified and this particular one. So that's what it's talking about. They did not love their life and renounce their faith, even when faced with death. Wow. Okay. So that, when hearing that, does that stir fear? And somewhat, if you were faced with it, it would, I think, a little bit. But when you're reading it, it actually sharpens your relationship to Christ and it sharpens your faith. It does, because we see all the disciples walking through this, something we look forward to, but it does lead us to Christ, right? It shows us maybe like a knee, it might show me where a weakness is, that do I love my life more than I love Christ? That's what I need to ask, but it's not because it's condemning. It's because if I was faced with it, is this word right here going to sharpen my relationship with Christ? The word of God in my faith, it will. If I meditate on this and I ponder this and I know this word, when faced with it, I hope that I would finish my race and not lose my faith. That would be my hope for me and my hope for you. So we have hope in Christ. In Romans 5, there's a lot of, in Romans, if you go into Bible Gateway and put in hope, I believe that is, or hope in Christ, Romans, there's some Colossians, some good stuff in Colossians as well. But Romans, this is Romans 5, 1 through 5. I'm going to read, I think this is, I'm not sure what version this is right now. It was back and forth from the New Testament. I mean, from the New King James to the Amplified. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory and tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So now we have the justification, we have our faith, we have the love, we have the hope, and we have the Holy Spirit. This is all-encompassing, in which we have to move and navigate through this world for the greater glory of God. And then our last verse that we are going to read in the Amplified is back to John 14, but this is verse 27. It says, as encouragement, peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I'll tell you what, this is a good word to meditate on and to, just reading this, I myself might just print this and put this on my mirror. Meditate, really meditate on this word and letting it have its full work and display in my life and asking him and praying through this, even in the moments, even when I'm facing great challenge or when I need his courage or when I need to have calm and whatever circumstance I'm in and meditating on him. And even in and through how he is sanctifying our souls, right? Even our very souls, but it goes beyond that. It goes to our spirit. And so thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your peace that you leave us, God. In Jesus' name, help us to understand how you do give to us and that as you give to us, that we would truly fully receive. We would receive it in its fullness, receive it in its full stature and its full maturity, that we would receive it, God, that there would be nothing blocking it, nothing hindering it during it, Father. No doubt, no unbelief, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We are freely you give, freely we receive, Lord. We just open our hearts, God, and just ask that in every, Lord, that you move about freely in our hearts, Lord, with your light, with your peace, with your grace and your mercy and every healing virtue that you have for our lives, Father God. We thank you, Lord, anything that is troubling or fearsome, God, and fear or anxiety, because it says, do not let your heart be troubled. Or let it be afraid, Father God. In Jesus' name, we offer that to you, God. And we offer that even in our minds, Lord. Speak truth to our minds that we could see in your perspective, God. That we could accept your ways over our ways, God. And that we do not limit ourselves in our own functioning aspects of our mind. But that you would broaden our perspective and our capacity to take more of you in, Father God, more understanding, more knowledge of you and of your word, Lord. We solely open ourselves to you alone, the Holy Spirit, and no other spirit, God, no other spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you for the courage and the strength that you give us, God, in our day's challenge, in our day's journey, God, and in the days ahead, Father God, that you would give us the courage and you would give us the strength, Father God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that all of your healing virtues are encompassed in that, God, with your love and your peace, your kindness, your long-suffering, your meekness, humility, forgiveness, Lord, that we put all these things on, God, that are of you, Lord. And we thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Let's open up the phone lines. Let me, oh my goodness, transition. Let's switch my paperwork. Yeah. Okay. So if you would like prayer tonight, thank you so much for calling and joining with us. You just press 1 on your keypad at any time, even if you're dialed in listening. We do appreciate you being here and being with us, but you can still press 1 on your keypad at any time that you would like prayer. That's awesome. Or you can dial in at 319-527-6027. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll take our first caller, 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, this is Julia May from Alabama.
Hey, Julia May, how are you?
Hey, just fine.
Good. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
good to have you here. And let me pray. I'm going to go ahead and mute you for just a minute, and I'll be right back, just hearing a little bit of background shuffle. I'll come right back to you, Julia May. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Julia May. Lord, I just lift her up to you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life, God, and how you're creative, Lord, and where you're creating, God. You're creating things for her, Father God, that are new, God, and fresh, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for these new creative things with her in mind, Lord, that are new and fresh. And, Lord, that they are with her specifically in mind, Lord, that she will delight in them. And, as his word says, taste and see that the Lord is good, that you would discern and know his ways for you and his goodness for you. We thank you for that, Lord. And even like he has marked you and knows you, I know he has sealed us, but kind of too, like our names, how we have those monograms, but even our initials, like if you go to the store, you can find plenty of things with, you know, just your initial on it, your first initial, and lots of people buy lots of different things that are, you use either your first name or your last name or whatever. But it's very personable. I guess that's the expression that symbolizes that, very personable, and he identifies with that. And as I was saying it, I realized that Julia May, like Jesus, Julia May, you both share that J letter there. And it's very personable, and you identify, right? So when someone has your same letter and your same, like, it's kind of delightful and a joy. And sometimes I not tease my husband, but like his name is John and Jesus, he has a J too, and I'll tease him, well, that's why he gets a special favor or whatever, it's because of this marking, that a Jesus identifies with. And where it just comes natural to identify with. So I thank you, Lord, just for the freshness and the newness that you are creating for her, Father God. And I would just come to agreement with that, Lord. We thank you that it's rising up, God, that you're raising that up and rising. It's rising, God, for your glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, how your hands can create new things, God, that you develop, Lord, creatively through your mind, Lord, and through your hands, Lord, that you release that, Father, unto her, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, how you identify with her and how you've marked her, God, through this identification, Lord, and fellowship that they have one for another and each other, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that in that, even creating a boldness. Yeah, boldness. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Because when the verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good, and some things that have taste or flavor, they have a bold flavor, like, oh, well, I really can taste whatever that. You can really identify something in them that's bold. It's not pungent, but it's bold. It's like, oh, it's so identifiable that it's bold, but it's good. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, Father, if there's just anything else, because it's just kind of resonating. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. Jumper doing great. We're doing just fine.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Very
yes.
good. Anything new in your neck of the woods in Alabama there?
No, nothing new. Everybody's staying pretty close home. I don't think it's bad. We have some teacher unfortunate passing and stuff like that. Yeah, quite a few teachers, you know, just passed. I was just reading today another teacher had passed. So, you know, just still praying, hope folks will, you know, be healed and stop saying, you know, the virus is nothing and taking chance, even children, you know, getting sick and different stuff. I have a, like I still have my cousin, his wife is still in the hospital on the ventilator, so, you know, in my nephew, like his wife, you know, since she had it, she, it's been a month and she still haven't awoken from the coma, you know, they, from the coma, you know, they, you know, since they had induced, they gave her some, you know, the medicine that came off of her, so she'll wake up and she still hasn't waken up, so, you know, they're praying for them.
Oh, wow. Okay, we could pray for them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your healing. God, we come in faith, praying in obedience to your word. God, we ask that you touch them, Holy Spirit, while we pray in faith and according to the word, Lord, that you would release your word, Father God, that you bore their sickness, God, and their disease on the cross, Lord. You forgive their sin and deliver them from the life of destruction, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, Lord, and your healing, that you heal every disease in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for Psalm 103, Father God, and we ask that you release that and cover them and entwine that and engraft that into them, Father God, until you do a working in and a working out of your word physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, God, that you would go in and bind things that need to be bound in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you do deliver us, God, from every sickness and deliver us from every disease, Lord, and that you heal and restore and redeem our lives from destruction, as your word says, Father. And truly it is by your loving kindness, Lord. So we pray that you reach those that Julia may have prayed for, those that every listener is thinking of and asking for and praying for. We come into agreement with that. And as well as myself, Lord, just remembering a family member, Lord, that you would do that on Richard's behalf as well, Lord. And those that don't or haven't confessed Jesus as Lord, I thank you, Father God, that they would awaken. Lord, it would be a new spiritual even awakening with their physical awakening, Lord, that the two would be united and joined as one, and that they truly would declare with their own lips, God, how fearfully and wonderfully they are made by their Creator, Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, I just, whatever that was, I kind of seen that word being activated and moving about and whatever. May it, you know, accomplish that in which it was sent, God. Okay, anything else you want to share? Anything else with the listeners or any comments?
No.
Any other prayer requests?
That's all, like I said, just keep the faith and no matter what we're going through, you know, keep my eyes focused on God because, you know, so much is happening. A lot of folks are losing faith and, like you said, they're tired and want to go out, but we still got to realize we got a virus out there we can't see, taste, or feel. So, you know, I just had a friend that went to a dinner and they called her back and said the cousin daughter had the virus and so she, you know, she was kind of shaking because she lost her husband a year ago from the COVID. And but she didn't test positive. And somebody else was telling me the same thing happened in the family. They had a family reunion. Then some of the folks, you know, some of the children laid on front of, you know, with COVID. So the lady, she had some other illness, and it's unfortunate she passed. So, you know, we say, you know, even with the family, somebody has to be careful because you got so many people coming from so many different areas, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. Very true. Yes, that's a good word. And most of us still, I mean, hopefully, and well, most of us still have a mask available somewhere, still carrying it with us. So if you feel you need to put that on, yeah, like don't hesitate, even in those moments and in that. Because we were at a funeral, I don't know if I mentioned this here, but we were at a funeral, oh my goodness, over a month ago, and when we walked in, they had masks, and this was in the Charlotte area, so we were, there's a different ordinances in North Carolina than there is in South Carolina, and so I have several masks in my purse because of those that are in. And when I cross over and stuff. Anyways, we walked into this church, and we weren't going to stay long because we couldn't. I mean, we were just going to stay for the service part and not for any of the fellowship afterwards or anything. And there were masks there, and I picked up two of them, and I put one in my purse, and then I put one on. And it was kind of warm in the room, so there were a couple of times, like, I had pulled the mask down a little bit while we were sitting there once everyone was settled and nobody was moving, you know. And I really just sat next to my husband, but he sat next to this other couple that we've known for a very long time. Actually, he was in our wedding, so we've known him 30 years. Anyways, afterwards, we just quickly went and made a presence. I had a card for one of my friends who was the daughter-in-law. I kissed her on the head, told her I loved her, and, you know, whispered, you know, comforting words in her ear. And then, you know, we said hi to the father. And so anyways, just, it was super quick. I was really hungry when we were leaving. There was this long table of food, and I almost wanted to grab a half a sandwich, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, don't eat any of that food, even though I wanted it. You know, I was like, if I just took this half submarine sandwich, I think it'll be okay. But I heard this, said, don't take the food. Don't eat any of the food. Well, it, lo and behold, people came down with COVID after that. And I mean, like, serious COVID. Yeah, like, he was in one of the, one of them was in the hospital and on a ventilator, then was released with the oxygen tank. Close friends of ours were very, very, very ill. And we were just praying that, I mean, and I don't even want to say that pridefully, because I know as soon as you have pride, you will come down with COVID, you know? So, but I mean, by the grace of God somehow, and I think part of it was, is that we didn't stay long and we didn't eat any of that food, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're right, it can be very unassuming, and can be very unassuming where you're. So we do have to, you know, be cautious, even with the Holy Spirit leading us. Good word.
Yeah, you still be cautious regardless, because like I took her, I said, I didn't have it, and it wasn't a severe case, but it was bad. I said, and she really had it real bad. And I had some friend in the club told me, you know, Lonnie, you help good. I said, no, I said, I didn't have it. And it beat me down. I said, well, she went through a lot what she went through. I said, so you can't tell me, you know, it's not serious. I said, you know, I said, she got the battle scar. And I said, and God was working with her. I said, because that's the only reason she made it. So, you know, been on a ventilator and end up septic, and then she ended up with the trach and the gastro tube. And then they lost her, and they bring her back because the phlegm was so thick, and then she went to part-time care because they thought she was going to do long-term because they had asked when I had already set it up. So they was trying to, you know, wean her back off the medicine and everything. And like I told people, when you walk in the room and see your child hooked up out of the machine, it's a whole dim ball there.
Yeah.
And I tell her, I can see from experience what it can do. Because I look at a little body now, and I said, oh, my God, it was you that kept her. And, you know, so you can see the little hole on the stomach, and healed, and her neck, you know, when they put the trach in, I said, you know, Mm-hmm. And she's doing Facebook, and she's doing much better where she can walk and, you know, not get short winded so bad like she was. So, you know.
Yeah.
Thank God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks the Lord for that.
With the, yeah, like that. Plus the double pneumonia, then she aspirated up or what I was trying to find. She had the double pneumonia, and then, like I said, plus with her oxygen level being down to 30. And that's what the doctor said. He said he don't even know how that girl was a little more than walk. He said, 30% oxygen, I don't see it. So that, you know, that
wow.
was, I guess the house, that was a miracle right there. You only got 30% oxygen.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had my sister-in-law and her husband, well, their entire family, five of them, I think, they all came down with COVID. But my brother-in-law
mm-hmm.
ended up, I think he had to go to the I think it was the hospital he went to, or urgent care. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know about this. I didn't get to ask all the details on this, but they gave him like 4 shots in his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. Or I don't know if it was COVID, there was an underlying medical condition and COVID, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I don't know if the shots were directly related to COVID or if there was something else going on with his health. But anyway, he ended up losing like 15 pounds in 3 weeks, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, but I don't know what these shots were. I should ask her what that was, but. I was like, dang, that sounds scary, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's scary. My back was bad enough, and I said, Lord, thank you. I said, because I can't imagine what she went through. I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at some of the picture and see how they hooked up and different stuff and how someone, you know, they said they'd be hurting, can't have breathe, and she couldn't have breathe. And they were saying she was taking like 51 breaths a minute. He said, she's not going to last like that. He said, she breathes like a 2-month-old baby. He said, I got to put her on that ventilator. She's not going to last.
Wow.
So I thank God.
Wow.
Like I said, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank God we have means to, for life and life more abundantly, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow, the resources. Thank God, really, that it was this time and era, you know, and not decades and decades ago that they didn't have means to, you know, give us support.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, yeah. So, wow. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit, for your peace, for your goodness and your mercy, and that you are sovereign over all. Even over every nation, Lord, you are sovereign. Let your word and your blood cover the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for calling. It's good to hear your voice and good to pray with you.
Okay, thank you. And be blessed.
All right, God bless you and Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
No.
Hey there, friends, listening friends. If you'd like prayer, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, and I'll open up your line and minister to you joyfully and in the spirit. So the other day, too, what was happening? I was thinking about this when Julia May was talking, or somewhere in there made me think of this. I was praying for someone else the other day, and it was she had lost her mom less than a year ago. And she, you know, was, you know, praying some verses and some scriptures and talking about grief with her. And then the Lord had me share just bits and pieces of my own testimony of losing my mom less than a year ago as well. And that I felt like the Holy Spirit had us connect, like that I took her prayer call, okay? And so when I shared with her, it was encouraging to her, and I was encouraging her to even just to reach out and maybe find a grief counselor, and that's okay. Like, just, you know, talk about it. It's a big thing when you lose a parent, and especially when there's significant other things happening, like the holidays are coming up, and, you know, set yourself up for success, you know, and just some different things there. Like, again, just praying the word, And, you know, sometimes we just need to be even gentle with ourselves, as gentle as and encouraging and comforting and kind as we would be with another. We need to be that with ourselves as well. And so when I got done with the call, she said to me too, well, thank you so much for sharing, you know, all that you did and for praying. And I'm going to be praying for you too, you know, to the end of the year. She said that when I think about you, I will be praying for you too. And I said, well, thank you so much. You know, that was encouraging too. And so we hung up. So the next day, which was this week, which was yesterday. Yesterday. I had this big office because we had moved, right? So I had this filing cabinet that I still needed to go through those files to shred stuff. Okay, this is one that I didn't get to before we moved. And so I had all the files taken out and stacked on top of that I had yet to finish. Okay, I was about halfway done. And so as I was going through the files, shredding and condensing and trashing, I came across this card. And let me read it exactly what it says. Okay, so I come across this card, and it had something else inside of it, like a paper thing. Okay, hold on. I get resituated here. And it has a smiley face on it, like this cute little smiley face. And it says, do you ever get the feeling that someone is thinking of you? This says on the outside. When you open it up, my mom wrote my name, and it says, it's me. That's what's printed in the card. And then it says, love, Mom. And I was like, wow. I was blown away that the very next day, and it was so encouraging. I mean, I could have went through these files. I had these files out there for weeks because I was only halfway done. And the very next day, after encouraging this woman and her telling me that she was going to pray for me, I come across this card that I literally, the paperwork that was inside of it, that my mom sent was for actually somebody else's funeral. And I think if the two were identified as one, this doesn't have a year on it, but that paperwork, it was like in 2009, like I've had this card for years. If that's any indication, I've had this card for years. Anyway, I just thought it was beautiful. One, my mom loved to send cards. Secondly, literally after this woman, just taking the call the day before, and then, this card could have said anything, but it was just completely ideal. And so simplistic, you know. I mean, the smile on it is, you know, super simple, like almost a little goofy, you know. But the wording is just incredible for the timing of it all. And it's so beautiful to see my mom's handwriting, and it just draws me near to her presence, you know, just even to see that. So I think I might take this card, and I'm thinking about framing it somehow, like the front and then the inside of it. Anyways, I have to see how the Lord does that. But anyways, and I know, actually I just reminded as I'm talking here now that I probably have a voicemail with my mom on it. Yeah, I haven't listened to that in a long time. Okay, I don't know if I'm ready for that. But I just now remembered that. When I was going through my voicemail, I specifically didn't erase or didn't take out. My mom had her name on them. I don't think I've listened to them, but I specifically didn't remove them or delete them because my girlfriend, who we went to kindergarten together, was at the funeral. And she was telling me that she had a message from my mom on her phone that she didn't erase, that was encouraging to her. She kept it all these years. or, you know, all this time. I don't know how long ago. I don't know if it was when her mom passed or what. And I remember her saying that she had this message, and then that's what made me save mine. So I haven't listened to them yet. Okay, this is a strange moment for me to have this. I'm really quite a private person. So for me to have this moment openly, spontaneously, in the moment, and to actually speak on it is something, as the work of the Lord, is what it is. So thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for who you are and what you're doing. We thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your breath, and that we could see you. Jesus, we want to see you. Just the pure in heart, see God. So let me just look that verse up. Let's just see how this goes in here. Okay, everything went away. Okay. Okay. So, there were so many verses when I put in just the word see, came up 1,500 verses. Let's see. Oh, so Matthew 5, so I guess I didn't realize after I said that. Again, if you want ministry, press 1 on your keypad and I will stop rambling. I didn't realize Matthew 5 because that is the Sermon on the Mount, pure in heart, but I guess it does make sense. Maybe I did realize that I just, when I said it, I didn't. But anyways, okay, so here we go in the Amplified still. I want to check. Blessed, which is anticipating God's presence and spiritually mature. Are the pure in heart. Those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, for they will see God. So we thank you, Father, just for revealing that in your word. Yeah. Lord, thank you that you lead us along the way to see you. God, I desire to see the Father. I want to see the Son, and I want to see the Holy Spirit. Lord, have your working in of integrity, God, this moral courage, Father, and that God, the character, God, that your word speaks of, God, I anticipate, God, I'm going to be blessed by anticipating your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. I'm going to anticipate your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It anticipated, God, and that you're going to grow us closer and closer and closer to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. It's so funny how things happen. But anyway, okay, so we have two callers. okay. Here we go, 240-482. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Good evening, Deborah. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for Valerie. Lord, we just bring her to your altar. God of grace, Lord. Encourage, Father God, before you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just the stamina, Lord, to stand in your presence, Lord, and abide in your word. thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the preservation, God, the preservation of even the stamina to stand and abide, God. We thank you for that in her life, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that she would be unmoving and unshakable. Father, in Jesus' name, even though maybe her circumstances and her surroundings, Lord, would try to intimidate her, God, as the enemy does, Lord, and try to, I was telling a friend one time, it's almost as if the enemy walks right up to you, steps on your feet, and then just like shoves you at the shoulders, you know, and like that intimidating and that in your face, you know, and pushy and demanding and obnoxious, you know. So, but I see the stamina to stand and the preservation that the Lord has surrounded with you, you know. And even, you know, and I have never seen this or never heard anyone say this, like this before, but like even with Job, the Lord said, he called him and said with his own words that he was righteous. And so I see the Lord, you know, calling you and saying that I have this preservation, that the preservation is yours and the preservation is in you. And then seeing the development of the stamina to stand. In Jesus' name, so we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your grace, Lord, and your mercy, Lord. His grace and his mercy are entrances and exits. So, like, I don't know of that. Entrances and exits, mercy and grace. So, when Jacob had the ladder and it was the angels ascending and descending, you know, the entrances and exits of grace and mercy. As I was saying it, I was just seeing the ladder, and I don't know if there's a correlation or parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Parallel. There is a parallel with Jacob and the ladder. I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, just not that specifically, but in those places where heaven touches earth in the Bible, it does have to do with our identity and priestly prayer and calling. And I never went back to look in that particular passage to kind of ponder that and meditate that and grasp the different elements from that. But so that's just a large stroke there, broad view. So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, sometimes when the Lord, it's not just that he's teaching me. It's like I actually experience it with him, or if I'm going through something, and then he shows me in his word, like the passage or the understanding of what was happening, and then the two come together, you know, and it's like, it's very profound, and it's very memorable, and it's very faith building and liberating at the same time, that I can trust him and how he's leading me, even when I don't have the understanding. If he brings the understanding even later in his word, but yet I'm still walking in an experience, and he's still holding me and carrying me and bringing me through it. So I kind of feel like there's something there with that too, is that I mean, I want to say the word significant, but it definitely is profound. And I mean, yeah, I guess significant would be accurate as well. So, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So how are you doing?
Thank you. That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. That's so funny. As soon as you said it, I said, wow, that was a lot.
I think I'm going to have to go back and listen to understand. I mean, I think I understand some of it, but to go back and listen to it again. I'm doing well. You know, it's interesting that you bring up stamina because one of the things that I was going to ask for prayer, it wasn't exactly stamina, but just really being in a place where I feel like I just need the Lord's help so much. You know, I guess like just being aware of weaknesses and just, you know, struggling at work to focus and I just feel challenged all around. And so I definitely need stamina to kind of keep going. And so I'm thankful that you brought that up.
Yeah, so that's interesting when you're saying it because I'm thinking, and the Lord's just recalling even back to your word on how the Lord, the Lord said to Job, he is a righteous man. And then, okay, that was his view of him. And the Lord, mm-hmm. his view is your perseverance. You have the perseverance in you. And I think the perseverance is actually even creating the stamina for you to stand. So I'm going to assume, based on that word, which is that you are standing with stamina. It's just you're very aware of what's happening to your surroundings and what's going on around you, but you literally are standing with stamina, even though it might be like, not what you would expect stamina to feel like or something, you know, of the sort. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like some of them would say, oh, this is rich in glory or rich in righteousness. And it's like, oh, man, I have no idea the fire I had to go through to get to it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like certainly not like what I would have expected, you know. And
right. Yeah.
Yeah, but the stamina is there to stand, which is so important, especially if, you know, because when you see the word stand and it's written and a couple of times, even with the spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, you know, and when I do all I know how to do, I stand, you know, the word stand is in there a few times, you know, and so mm-hmm. we want to be left standing. That is that's like a slap in the face to the enemy. When we stand, even if that's all we do is stand, and we're standing with stamina, we're standing. It's like, I mean, to the enemy, that's a slap in the face.
Yeah.
And very righteous before the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I guess I feel like I am in a place where I'm persevering, trying to stand and, you know, not give up, not falter in my faith. And, I appreciate what you're saying in terms of like, you know, even if all you do is stand, you know, it's like, if I can just stand and get through, you know, where I guess these circumstances, these different, you know, various challenges, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and there's something Tim's trying to look up right now. I don't know why my computer is going very slow, but there's something to the other part of your word was about Jacob and the entering. I'm entering and exiting the grace and mercy, entering and exiting. And then the Jacob, Jacob with the angels, trying to find that in the New Testament. I'm not sure where that passage is, but I would look at that and prayerfully ask the Lord, because there's something there that's going on that is very parallel to what's happening with you now, you know, that you have this access to that. And I don't know if it's something mm-hmm. that you need to plug into that. Okay. Again, let's see. Just trying to narrow it down for you. I don't know. It's not working for me. So, sorry. You're going to have to find that on your own.
Okay.
So,
okay.
yeah, sorry, that was not narrowing down for me. Yeah, so maybe it's something the Lord just wants you to see and show you, you know, because there was a time where I was going through something and I said, Lord, I don't even know what's happening. I don't know, you know, it was just not a good. It was very difficult spiritual battle. And, you know, of course I was before the Lord, but I was like, I don't even know what I did, but if I did, you know what I mean? I was just like, it was just like, oh my gosh, it was just very, very difficult. And I said, Lord, you have to show me in your word, show me your word, show me in your word what's happening, explain to me and bring the understanding. And when he did, and he illuminated my eyes to it, and it was some time, it was a few months, you know. And once mm-hmm. I seen the word and I read it, I knew like the anointing, the presence of God was on it. As soon as I read it and I read it out loud, and that's what was happening to me, I knew that it was broken. At that point, it was broken because the word was spoken and it was released. However, I still had to go through a little bit more of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Until it was completely mm-hmm. any of the residue. Like any other residue or any other functioning parts of it. But at the time the word was released and revealed and the understanding came and I spoke it forth as I was reading it, it was released. I knew it was done. The battle was done then. And I could rest in that and the wow. knowledge of, yeah, what Christ was showing me in his word, you know? So, and just asking mm-hmm. him. And a lot of times I have asked him throughout the years, show me in your word that's got to be, because if it's truth, it's got to be in there somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would just go back and look up the part of Jacob and the ladder descending, because it's
okay.
heaven and earth are touching in that moment and in that place. And that is part of our priestly identity. In praying and calling upon the Lord. So I'm not sure all the, again, those are just broad strokes, which they are very important. But just mm-hmm. reading that and seeing if there's something you can gain there and put into practice with what you're yet going through. So.
Okay. Okay. I can
yeah.
do that. Thank
you. Thank you so much. Yeah. God bless you. Praise God.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, friends. We are on to 954-580. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, good evening. You're speaking with Carolyn from Jamaica.
Carolyn.
Hello, Deborah.
Hi, such a nice voice. I like to hear your voice. It's always unexpected. I don't know why. But then I hear your voice. I'm like, oh, it's such a nice voice. So, Father, we just thank you for Caroline. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just lift her up to you, Lord, and bring her unto your throne. Lord, and unto your kingdom, Father. We thank you, Father, for your work and what you're doing, Lord, and your word that you speak and generate and bring forth. So, Lord, generating in her life, God. Thank you, Lord. Just let me thank you, Father God, for what you're generating, Lord. I just Thank you, Lord. Okay, yeah, generate. Okay, so it says to cause something, especially an emotion or situation, to arise or come about. Okay, and it also says generate. And it also says bring about. But in the and a little not side note, but little added thing here, it says changes that are likely to generate controversy. However, when it's with Christ, even though this is okay, controversy can be a negative connotation in a worldly sense. But with Christ, it actually can be opposite because the kingdom of God is definitely counterintuitive. So it could be controversy, meaning in the spiritual aspect, it's going to bump up against things and bring about change. But anyway, that's just an expression. I don't want to go too much there because I've really seen the word generate and some type of motion or motor thing next to you and actually running. So something is being generated. So I thank you, Lord, to speak into this, Father God, and ask you, Lord, by your wisdom to speak through me, God, and to show me in my spirit, Father, if there be anything more that is to be generated, God, to generate. Father, in Jesus' name, let me just look in the word here and the Amplified and see if, I might put in generate and see if anything comes up. Okay, it's not, nothing's coming up. Okay, so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, Lord, just for the motion that is happening because I do see it is moving. There's moving and what is being generated, God, in Jesus' name. We ask for your blessing, God. So we ask, Lord, just a functioning role of whatever situation, God, that you're causing to arise or to come about. That this motion, God, that it is in motion and that you will generate it, God. And that's all I know how to speak into because that's all I keep seeing. And I'm not seeing anything more. So that is my prayer. I just pray that release of prayer of what I'm seeing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Look forward to the movement in my life.
You what?
I look forward to the movement in my life.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, is there anything specific we can pray for you with?
Yes, thank you. I'm currently doing some studies, so may you kindly just pray with me that God will just strengthen me, give me memory that will retain the information and to apply it when needed. So that God will just be with me throughout. Thank you.
Okay, yes. Thank you, Lord, for Caroline, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that as she studies to show herself to prove God, and whatever that might be, Lord, we know because of your spirit, it will be a reflection and a light to this world, Lord. We ask for your blessing on that, God, for your favor on it, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would even preserve her time and all of her efforts, God, that they would be effective, Lord, in her studies, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you would give her the ability to retain and to retrieve, Lord, the information that she has need of, God, while she's studying, while she's testing, and while she's conversing and even communicating, Lord, with teachers and classmates and papers, God, all that she puts her hands to do, God, that you would bless that, Lord. We pray for her mind, Lord, and even the capacity to hold and retain and retrieve this information, Lord, that you would bless that. Bless, God, the frontal lobe, the middle lobe, Lord, and the back lobe, God, that everything would fire up the way that it is needed for her memory and for her recall, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given her a sound mind. And again, Lord, just enlarge the capacity for her learning and retrieving and communicating. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us. Okay, our next caller, 903-908. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Michelle from Texas.
Oh, hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Michelle. Lord, we thank you. As we bring her onto your kingdom, Lord, we thank you, Lord, as she stands in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name. So I'm seeing you standing, that your feet are in one place, and then your rest, okay, so your feet are in one place, like in one season, and then the rest of you is in a different season. So, like there's two different seasons and two different terrains, if you will, even though it's right before you. So, Father, I'm not sure what this means. And I've never seen this before or nor heard anyone ever speak on this. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, and where you're bringing her, Father God. I thank you, Lord. So I don't see anything necessarily in a negative connotation. They're just different seasons. And I don't know if this has to do with, so I'm going to speak this forth, but I'm actually speaking it forth in front of the Holy Spirit for him to lead me in truth and to guide my words, because sometimes when I speak it, then I feel his unction more so on one word than another. And that's where I go. So this is what I'm exploring right now. But the Holy Spirit, as y'all are listening, is that the terrain. Okay, so he's just telling me, in that the terrain. Father, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I don't really see anything in a negative connotation, just a different season, like different abilities, different seasons. Thank you. Oh, okay. Hold on. I might have to take this off of the amplifier if I can't find. Okay. Okay, this verse came to mind. When you pass through the waters, Isaiah 43:2. Let me just open up this Isaiah 43 altogether, but verse 2. Okay. What I'm reading to you. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Yeah, you know, I've never seen this like this before, but so verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Okay. So verse one says, but now this is what the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, who has formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you from captivity and I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers. So it's kind of like seeing your feet in the waters, and then like this open seasonal type of, you know, kind of like a terrain. I don't know if that's the right word. Let me see if it's, and I know I said that, terrain. My goodness, terrain is a stretch of land, especially with regards to its physical features. Yeah, because that's kind of what I was seeing. So, okay, so there's that verse right there, Isaiah 43. Let me go back because see where I am. Okay, Isaiah 43, so thank you, Lord, and then let me see if I put the word terrain in here. Let me see if I come up with anything, which is interesting. Always fascinating, the Holy Spirit. Okay. No, I did not. Let me go to, I want to change this version. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And so maybe the first part of this, verse 43, let me go back here. I lost it here. Isaiah 43, because the first part is like, who has formed you? Fear not, for I've redeemed you, and I've called you by name, you are mine. So now I'm in the New King James. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Yeah. So, I'm seeing something there because there's different terrains. Like this, even this verse two has different terrains in it, you know. But the first part, like, and especially where your head was, okay, for the upper part of your body, but the first part of this verse, is him that he's called you by name and that you are his, that he's redeemed you and called you by name. So a lot of times, like where our head is and where our eyes are and different things is that is where the vision is. That's what we're seeing. And that's what's being formed and shaped, you know? And so, And so now as I'm saying this, this is definitely identifying, but this is the strangest way that I've ever seen the Lord release a word even through me. And then capturing his word along with what I'm seeing with these two different terrains, if you will, but really the upper part. So again, where your head is, just to reiterate here and to see if the Lord adds anything else to it. Because of where our head is, where that's the vision and our eyes and seeing, so that's it. So in this verse, and then in the bottom part, like that's where your feet were, but your feet were almost up to your knees. The water was almost up to your knees. It wasn't to your feet or your ankles. It was almost up to your knees. And I'm not even sure remembering what it was that brought me to this word. But so the first part of Isaiah 43:1 is that he has formed you and telling you to fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name, you are mine. So it's not just saying I've called you by name. I've called you by your name, Michelle. He calls you by your name, and you are mine. And even that first part of it, again, there was nothing negative. There was no negative anything in the connotation to that. The waters were maybe a little bit murky. Like they weren't necessarily clear or brilliant blue or like Caribbean blue or anything. The waters were a little bit murky. That's the only thing I would say. And then verse two, again, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And this here in this version, and you'll have to look this up for the understanding of this even more because it says, I will. And it's written out where that's actually italicized. That's how it's here. And so you might want to look up the meaning when they italicize words in scripture. I know that there is some functioning purpose to that, but I'm not sure what it is off the top of my head. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you, and you walk through the fire, they shall not burn you. This is a really good, it's a really good passage, even. It's a lot of verses, but there's some good passages in there when it's talking about redeeming Israel. And I had a friend one time, she shared her testimony. I didn't know this. I actually really loved her. She had so much joy. I really loved her. We went through a class, church, and she, I had no idea. She didn't even tell me. She was going to share her testimony at the end of class. And she used portions of the scripture, but she was talking about how she tried to commit suicide. She literally shot herself. And how the Holy Spirit, even after she did that, the Holy Spirit just like rose up and told her what to do. She was still fighting against these voices that were telling her, working against and opposing the Holy Spirit. And she lived, and she's still living. I mean, she doesn't have a spleen, and she doesn't, but one of the most, you would not know. And so I told her afterward, I just even love you more. After hearing your testimony, I loved you before, but I love you even more after sharing your testimony. So so to say that, to say there's some really good passages in there, how the Lord, and then through that, walks through things with us. So praise God and bless you.
Amen. Praise God. I received that word.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah. Yeah, he'll make provision for you, even when we walk through murky waters, you know, he's providing for us.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So is there any, do you have any specific prayer requests or anything you'd like to share? Oh, I have like 1 minute. Just talk to me. I guess I got lost in your word there.
No, I don't have anything that I need a prayer request for. That I wanted to share.
Okay.
God bless you and thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you too, Michelle. Have a good night.
You too. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. God bless you. And stay put, if you will, or you might have to call back in to get in line for Randy to minister to you. So God bless you. Shalom, everyone.